Blog Talk Radio.
Conspiracies, cover-ups, news they don't want you to know. Only on the Cosmic Horizons Radio Show, hosted by James Harp.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. You can also receive our free print catalog. Just send your name and mailing address to MrUFO8@hotmail.com. I'll spell that out for you. MrUFO8@hotmail.com. MrUFO8@hotmail.com. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Destruction. I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. This is streaming live Cosmic Horizons Radio from our bunker just a little north of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This is a live call-in show. You can give us a call at area code 515-602-9661 or join us in your real-time chat room. A lot of things happen around the world today, especially this nasty, nasty coronavirus that's going around. Is it a man-made virus? A lot of conspiracy theories about this, or is it just a natural virus on the occurrences of Earth changing, climate change? With me is my very special guest, haven't heard him for a while, Mr. Commander X. And we're going to dive headfirst into the world of media that they really don't want you to know. Welcome to Cosmic Horizons Radio, Commander X.
Why? Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure to be on Cosmic Horizons Radio. And I should point out that I'm not the Commander X. I'm, you know, Tim R. Swartz. I have written books in the past with Commander X, but you know, he's a completely separate entity all of his own. He was involved in the military and in the intelligence services, and I have never been. So,
well, I'm glad we got that cleared up, Tim. It's great to have you back on the show. It's been quite a while.
Yes, it has. I can't remember the last time that I was on Cosmic Horizons Radio. And boy, I tell you, a lot has changed since then, hasn't it?
Yes, especially this nasty virus going around. And we're going to talk a little bit about the viruses, Tim. Do you believe what you've uncovered through your conspiracy journal, that this is a man-made virus in China?
Well, you know, this was a popular theory that came out almost right from the very beginning. You know, I started receiving information coming out of China as early as probably around the first couple of weeks in December of last year, 2019. And this was before, you know, the press here in the West ever got a hold of it. And I tell you, even at that point, it was starting to concern me because of its nature. There were already a lot of people getting sick with respiratory illness, and so naturally, as soon as the Western media started to get a hold of this, then talk started to circulate that this possibly could have been some sort of man-made virus that had accidentally escaped from a bio lab there. Actually, there's one apparently fairly close to the city of Wuhan in China. But, you know, now that time has passed, and people have actually had a chance to examine this coronavirus, they're pretty certain that that this is a natural event, that it wasn't man-made. I mean, one of the reasons right away. Now, in December 31st, Chinese authorities, you know, they alerted the World Health Organization of an outbreak of this novel strain. And then shortly afterwards, Chinese scientists sequenced the genome of what they were calling SARS-CoV-2 and made the data available to researchers worldwide. Now, that resulting genomic sequence showed that Chinese authorities rapidly detected the epidemic, and that the number of COVID-19 cases have been increasing because of human-to-human transmission after a single introduction into the human population. Now, if this had been a, say, like a man-made coronavirus that had accidentally escaped the laboratory, then they would have used an already known coronavirus, like the original SARS, for example, to use it as a, say, like a template to build it on. Instead, they found out that this was a novel coronavirus that had never seen before. And in fact, later on, they found out that it probably was the result of two different coronaviruses that originated in different species, say like a bat, and they're thinking now maybe a pangolin, that combined together in a third host that they haven't been able to determine yet what that third host was, that then created the COVID-19 that we have today. So, and as well, if this had been a man-made virus, it probably would, even though this virus is fairly lethal. If it was a man-made virus, it would probably, you know, have a mortality rate of more than, you know, 50% to 75% of people who contract it. You know, right now it's fairly lethal, but not as lethal as if it was made to be, you know, say like a wartime warfare type of virus. You know, as well, its infection rate is very, very high. A man-made virus would have an infection rate that would be pretty high, but not as high as, say, a novel natural originating virus. Again, that reason goes back to that they would have used a already known coronavirus to build this new one on, and at that point, people would have already developed a somewhat of an immunity to these older coronaviruses. This one, since it has never been seen on the world before, you know, I mean, it's a baby in the coronavirus world. Mm-hmm. It has a very fast and easy transmission rate among humans.
Well, due to unconfirmed reports, which you just mentioned, the SARS virus, it wouldn't be the first time a deadly disease such as SARS has escaped from a Chinese research facility. Back in March 2004, 9 people had become infected and 1 fatality after this SARS virus escaped from the National Institute of Virology in Beijing, China. So that's unconfirmed reports again. You don't know how to take the reports from China these days, but apparently that 2004 that this SARS did escape in a bio lab in Beijing, China.
Oh yes, well, I mean there are bio labs all over the world that that keep a stockpile of all of the known lethal human viruses and a lot of the ones that aren't known, in their stockpile for research. Now the SARS virus that you just mentioned, that one first showed up in 2003. And SARS, stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, and that particular strain created a lot of deaths, but it wasn't nearly as easily transmitted from person to person as the current coronavirus. Now, a lot of people don't realize, but there was a second outbreak in 2012 in Saudi Arabia. That was called the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. And again, this was something that is related to the current coronavirus. What makes this one so unique is that it is highly contagious. It seems to be a lot more contagious than any of the past ones, which again, as like I said before, seems to indicate that it is a novel coronavirus that has never been seen before. So there has been not only in China, but the Soviet Union back during the Cold War had several instances of biological warfare experimentation that accidentally escaped from their laboratories. Anthrax was a popular one that everyone liked to study, and unfortunately, the Soviet Union had some really bad mistakes that let clouds of anthrax loose from some of the laboratories that basically just created a zone of death over a couple hundred miles in some of these locations. So I mean, while the coronavirus is probably not a man-made biowarfare virus, that's not to say that there hasn't been others that have escaped from the past. I think that's extremely likely, and nor will this be the last pandemic that we're going to face. It's as we become more and more connected in this world, air travel is so easy to get us from place to place. It makes it a lot easier for these viruses to, at one time they may have been just localized. You'd have like a localized epidemic, and that's basically where it stayed. Now, it's very easy for these viruses to quickly spread across the world. So, I mean, we really do need to step up our efforts to try to find a kind of like a universal vaccine for viruses in general.
Now, what about these 5 gigahertz network that they're erecting around China and trying to erect throughout the world? Do you believe that this has any bearing on some sort of rearranging on the DNA or the blood cells of people? Because we can go back into the days of Nikola Tesla and his experiments in actually doing this. Do you believe this new 5-gig network has anything to do with altering people's DNA and maybe blood cells?
It's really too early to tell, in my opinion. Once again, the 5-gig networks has kind of become the new scapegoat for technological fears. I mean, you know, I remember, and I'm sure you do too, James, that, you know, when the whole cell phone system and you know, home Wi-Fi and things like that first started, there was a lot of concern and warnings that these electromagnetic fields would have some kind of dangerous effect on humans. And to a certain extent, they do. Electromagnetic fields in close proximity to people has shown to cause certain kinds of physiological effects. Now, like I said, right now there isn't really enough information yet on how 5 gig is going to affect us. But, you know, looking back, I really haven't seen that much good evidence that the earlier versions, 4 gig, 3 gig, you know, the others, have made that much of a difference. The real danger comes more from the high power electrical lines that, not the transmitters, but actually the high power lines themselves that crisscross the country. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever done this experiment before, but, you know, you go to one of these these lines that are up on these, you know, very high metal towers that, you know, look almost like, you know, Martians marching across the, you know, the country. You know, you can hold a neon tube or a fluorescent tube, and the electrical radiation that's coming off of these lines, that's enough to light those tubes up. And people who live close to these high power lines, say they're right over their house, or even people who are living very close to where the electric lines come into your house, some sensitive individuals do exhibit cell problems in their brain, where they're actually, over the years, show that there is a breakdown in certain structures deep within the brain. Unfortunately, it tends to deal along the lines with your cognitive functions, memory, socialization. I mean, there has been some research being done that an extended exposure to this high power electricity can actually cause a deviant psychological conditions in people. I mean, there has been theories that you know, people who suddenly just freak out and get a gun and just and go to the local school and start shooting up the place may have experienced brain damage due to a continued exposure to high powered electricity. So whether or not the new 5 gig is going to show similar effects, the jury is still out on that. Has it contributed to the COVID-19 breakout? No, absolutely not. It hasn't been. It's not been deployed widely enough in this country or other countries. Again, you're dealing with a novel coronavirus that, you know, currently we don't have an immunity to.
Well, just talking about strange things happening around the world, including this coronavirus, from your conspiracy journal, you have a very interesting excerpt about the secret UFO contacts of Paul Villa. And Paul Villa has quite, now if I got this right from reading from your website here, Paul Villa actually does have some photos from UFOs?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we just recently, myself, Timothy Green Beckley, we put out a reprint of a book that is now titled The Secret UFO Contacts of Paul Villa. Now, Paul Villa was a UFO contactee mostly from the 1960s. 60s. His first experiences happened in the late 1950s, but he ended up shooting a series of just absolutely fantastic photographs showing these UFOs that made close approaches to him. And in fact, the alleged extraterrestrial beings that he was in contact with would actually position their craft close by to allow Paul to take pictures of them. Some of his photographs shows a large craft hovering over fields. You can see like his truck in the foreground for reference. And then there are some amazing photographs that show what would only be described as like mini UFOs. One series, he was out driving home, and he lived in New Mexico, he saw several large craft flying by, which several small, maybe, you know, couple, no more than just a couple of feet wide craft came down and circled his truck, and he was able to get out of his truck and get some absolutely fantastic photographs of these crafts as they, you know, flew around the truck. Now, naturally, because his pictures were so clear, he fell under you know, a lot of suspicion that he faked these photographs. But if you look back on his life, you know, this was a gentleman that really did not seek publicity. You know, he wasn't going around to the UFO conventions and talking about how, you know, the friendly space brothers were here to save us from our own warlike ways. No, I mean, he had his contacts. He told some people, he took some photographs. You know, some UFO investigators got wind of it and published his photographs. But Paul really, I mean, he never made money off of this, and he never really sought any kind of publicity for his experiences. So if he was a hoaxer, you know, if he was faking this, we're left to wonder why he would do it. I mean, he wasn't doing it for fame or money. So, you know, we're just left to wonder that, you know, well, possibly we should just take him at his word that his experience actually happened and the photographs that he took were real. And you can find this book, by the way. It's called The Secret UFO Contacts of Paul Villa. It's available now on Amazon in both a print and a Kindle version.
Well, talking about UFOs, wasn't there a 70th anniversary of some mass UFO sightings in some town called Farmington? And it reached the 70th anniversary. Because apparently during this anniversary from March 16th to March 18th in the 50s, there was a mass UFO sightings with some reports indicating hundreds, if not hundreds, saw strange objects in the sky. Now, this was in broad daylight, was it not, Tim?
Yes. And, you know, this was during a time when there were a number of interesting mass UFO sightings going on, not only across the United States, but all over the world. Now, this was in 1950, and, you know, the modern UFO era started in June of 1947 with the Kenneth Arnold sightings in the state of Washington. Now, New Mexico, Arizona, places like that, especially around 1950, for some reason, there were a lot of reports of UFOs being seen. But the Farmington mass UFO sighting is rather unique, first of all, because of all the UFOs that were being seen at the time. And this was something that occurred from about March 16th to about March 18th. And there were a number of people living in this town and in some of the towns surrounding Farmington who saw these UFOs, and which makes it somewhat unique, because most of the time UFO sightings tend to only happen to one or two individuals. But I mean, you had an entire town basically who were seeing these UFOs, and they made numerous appearances. Sometimes there would just be one or two. Other times they were, you know, people were reported to almost be like a saucer squadron flying overhead. And the other interesting thing about this story is that, you know, the media at the time covered this quite a bit, interviewed witnesses. But then years later, UFO investigators went back and they were able to find a number of people who never reported their experiences. They never got any press coverage in the newspapers, and yet their stories were remarkably the same as the ones that, that got the press coverage. You know, so many people saw these things but didn't want to tell anybody that, yeah, I saw it too. You know, naturally, even in 1950, it had already started the giggle factor that, you know, you tell anybody you saw a UFO and, you know, people start kidding you and telling you, asking you what you've been drinking or smoking. but for some reason in the very late 1940s and early 50s, there was just, you know, like this mass UFO flap that was going on, especially in the United States, and later it extended out across the world. Especially like from like 1952, 1954, you had a number of mass UFO landings, especially in places like France and Italy, where people actually started seeing little creatures coming out of these UFOs. And, you know, this is stuff that we kind of take for granted now when it comes to UFO reports. But back then, you know, 1953, 1954, this was a major development when it came to the whole UFO phenomena. You know, most of the time people never reported seeing any kind of occupants associated with these craft. But starting at that point, a lot of these things were being seen to land. And then, you know, space-suited beings were, you know, coming out and collecting soil samples, plant samples. You know, some people even had communications with these creatures.
Well, we've got about a couple of minutes left in the show, but before we sign off, you have something to see on your conspiracy journey about. We always talk about Bigfoot, but apparently from your Conspiracy Journal magazine, it says Bigfoot was caught on a camera. Window peeking. Now, that was back in October 2017.
Right. Well, this happened in Colorado, and you know, there's been, you know, all kinds of reports throughout the years. You know, Bigfoot seems to have a penchant for peeking into windows. Very curious. But this case, the guy in 2017, he actually managed to get some photographs, and apparently he also got a video from his cell phone. I'm going to take that back. I don't remember now if it was a cell phone, but he had then loaded the video into a computer for safekeeping. But unfortunately, the building that the computer was in later caught on fire and he lost it. But he did manage to keep a number of the photographs. You know, so it's hard to tell. I mean, you know, a photograph can show just about anything. I mean, you can just, you know, you could put on a gorilla mask and peek in the window or what. But you know, they're interesting pictures. And again, I mean, I always have to give the benefit of the doubt to the people who are making these reports that they're being sincere about it, because again, even, you know, you look at, say, like UFO photographs, hardly anybody ever makes money off of UFO photographs.
Right.
And I doubt if anybody's going to make any money off of Bigfoot photographs either.
Well, it's about the end of the show, Tim. It's been a very interesting, compelling show. We had a couple of people in the chat room. Can you give the listeners out there how to contact you and get a hold of your magazine?
Sure. Well, the Conspiracy Journal is an email newsletter. Comes out every week for free. Just go to our website, conspiracyjournal.com, and there's a place you can sign up to get the newsletter. And it's free. And we depend on people every week sending us their interesting news stories. And it's all the news and information that they don't want you to know.
Thanks a lot, Tim. It's been a great show. And hope to get you on in another couple of editions of Cosmic Horizons Radio. Great to hear your voice back on the air, Tim.
Thanks, James. I appreciate you having me on today.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon, Tim.
All right.
You've been listening to the Cosmic Horizons Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, thanks a lot for tuning in, and thank you for the people participating in the chat room.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There, you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. You can also receive our free print catalog. Just send your name and mailing address to MrUFO8@Hotmail.com. I'll spell that out for you. MrUFO8@Hotmail.com. MrUFO8@Hotmail.com. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over.